Paula Poundstone is a comedy legend and author. Her most recent book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, is one of five finalists for 2018's Audiobook of the Year. She's a frequent panelist on NPR's wonderful Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and the host, alongside fellow Wait, Wait panelist Adam Felber, of the recently launched podcast Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Paula, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, being a listener of your podcast, I know you're not a huge fan of self-promotion, so I'll get that out of the way for you right off the bat. New England folks have a couple of chances to see you performing. You'll be in Maine on Saturday, November 24th at Jonathan's in Ogunquit. And then on the 25th, you'll be in Fall River, Massachusetts for a show at the Narrows Center for the Arts. People can get tickets for all those or any of your upcoming shows at paulapoundstone.com. Did I get all that right?
That sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds great. I don't know. I'm not staring at my calendar. I never know where I'm going if I'm not staring at my calendar. But that sounds good.
Now, before we get too much further, I need to pass along my missing person report to you. I can verify that your missing survivalist guest, Thomas Coyne, is not in the WZON studios on Broadway here in Bangor. I also had our engineer check for you. Our transmatter shack on Kings Mountain in Orrington. He's not there
right, either. That was one of our greatest suspicions, was that he was located there at this time. But for those on our podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, we were going to have this guest one day, for those who don't know about this, one evening, a guy named Thomas Coyne. And he was a survivalist, or is a survivalist, and he was going to explain to us what you do when you encounter a bear. And so the time, you know, we get ready to do the show, we're sitting in the studio waiting, and Thomas Coyne never showed up, which I think that for a survivalist not to make it to the show suggests some rigorous conditions. So ever since then, we've been looking for him. And, you know, we called, we emailed him, we texted him, we used all the methods that we had contacted him to be on the show to begin with, and never got a response. So ever since then, we've had our listeners scouring the country, telling us where he isn't. And we have a map, in fact, on, I think it's the Facebook page for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. We have a map that shows where he isn't.
Well, you can check off, studios in Bangor, transmitter shack in Orrington. He's not there. I'll continue to, search Eastern Maine as much as I can for you.
We really appreciate it. Constant vigilance.
So, yeah, and if anybody doesn't know what's going on with your podcast, they need to. It is a great, great podcast. One of the
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. The weekly house band is a lot of fun. You cover a lot of different instruments. Most recently, last one was the vibraphone player. You've had cello, accordion, double bass, trumpet, everything. My personal favorite was the pipe organ for your Halloween special.
Nice to hear. I'll pass that along. Yeah, we had speaking of pipes, we had a bagpipe player one night who was really kick-ass. I mean, we sort of figured that the bagpipe would be, sort of hard to listen to, and maybe, that there was something just sort of funny about bagpipes. But I got to say, the bagpipe was one of my favorite house bands. And stay tuned, listeners, because the didgeridoo is scheduled soon.
Ooh, that's a can't-miss one, I have a feeling.
I was talking, we had a production meeting yesterday over the phone, and we were talking to Adam, and Adam's a musician himself, my partner, Adam Felber, and so he often talks to the musicians about, when we need them to play and that sort of thing, and so we were saying, we want, especially at the beginning of the show, really upbeat music, and we're like, okay, we have the didgeridoo coming up, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever heard upbeat didgeridoo. I'm looking forward to it, though.
I've heard it a few times, but no, it's I've never heard an upbeat tune played.
No, I think it sounds a bit. I don't know what a moose sounds like in real life, but my guess is there's a similarity.
Now the pipe organ, and you've had other ones too, but he had a theme. The pipe organist, whose name I'm not going to remember, unfortunately. He had a theme song ready to go that he played for you. I thought that was one of the high contenders. Have you made a final decision on a theme song for the show yet?
Oh, we've been having a theme song contest since the inception of the podcast, which, by the way, is called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And no, we haven't settled on a theme song. We're continuing to ask people to submit them, and we've had a rich array. So we play like some samples of the theme songs here and there, and we've gotten almost every genre now. I mean, I don't think there's been like a Gregorian chant one yet, but the night is young.
Yeah, it's your guest list. We like to say that Downtown has Maine's best guest list due to wonderful guests like yourself. But your podcast definitely has one of the most eclectic guest lists, especially when you start looking at the careers of the people you're talking to. So
we had a woman come in to talk about mold, house mold.
Yeah.
And she was, you know what's funny? She was great. She was bubbly and enthusiastic. I mean, part of I'm trying to get people that can explain to me, you know, stuff that I just need to know to survive. You know, like if I was moving out of my parents' house, what would I need to know? And see, you know, every time I suggest something, a lot of my coworkers are like, "Well, that seems a little down. I don't see where you're going to get. I don't see what's going to be funny about that." And then these people will come on, and they're so into their jobs, they don't call themselves exterminators anymore. What are they?
Pest control.
The pest control guy. He was this young guy that was so enthusiastic, not in a morbid way about pest control, but really, you know, he really understood the psyche of rats.
Yeah, well, he's helping you with your various infestations that you've had. Silverfish,
yeah,
which...
infestation of the week segment sometimes, because, I've had rats, I've had big logy flies, I've had, of course, the little silverfish things. I fortunately have not yet had roaches, but I know that somewhere after the mold, they're on their way.
Now, talking with all of these folks, have you sparked that fire for a career alongside or instead of comedy?
I'm always on the lookout for a career where I don't have to do any self-promotion, where I'm not stuck saying I'm going to be at the blah 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 on December 31st. But so far, I don't have the skill to do any of these jobs. That seems to be the biggest problem. I've been a comic for 39 years, and although I do believe you can teach an old dog new tricks, some of these I'm not sure. We did have a real estate woman one night, but I don't think I'm effervescent enough.
She was very bubbly.
She was very bubbly, and I got the sense that. And she was like the new age realtor, you know, that do stuff like she had one of the houses she was selling, they call it, you know, she had the listing for. They were, you know, they had like a sushi party. I'm not sure how that sells a house, but I guess it does. There was a lot of like have a party at the house that you're selling, or you know, it's way beyond have the smell of baked cookies now. it's way beyond pointing out that a room is spacious. Now they have all sorts of tricks too, and I don't know, I'm not so into tricks.
We're talking with Paula Poundstone here on Downtown. She's got a show coming up in Ogunquit on November 24th. Now, moving...
It's 11 Jonathan's. I love Jonathan's.
Jonathan's, yeah. It is a great, great place to see a show. Move away from the podcast for a little bit. Any thoughts on the election results from last week? Or
yeah. You know what's funny? I was watching the News Hour last night on PBS, and it's my favorite news broadcast. And this is, I don't know, several days, anyways, after the election. And they were talking about, they finally came to the conclusion that indeed it was a blue wave, which... Trump and some of the Republicans are so good at messaging that even after the Democrats, you know, really had a very successful night, they were still able to convince even the Democrats that they didn't. It's masterful. It's truly masterful. If it was used for good and not bad, sometimes it would be an amazing thing to see. But anyways, and California, I think Trump has actually gone to the border of California with a saw and is now trying to cut it off of the United States.
He's going to turn into Lex Luthor in Superman, where he's going to try to just, you know.
He really does not like us here in California.
Yeah,
he's just had it with us. So that during our fires, he picks that time to criticize forest management. And by the way, I don't know when he became an expert in forest management. He said the other day that he knew more about the Fed than did the Fed chairman. And so his level of expertise. I was thinking the other day that if they ever do a biopic of me, Trump will probably play me because clearly he must know more about me than I do.
Well, just ask him. I'm sure he will explain the bits of your life that you're missing out on.
He does do this thing where, you know, he'll say something that's like an absurd fact, not a fact at all. He'll say something that's an absurd notion, and then he'll go, everybody knows that. You know it. And every now and then I have to sort of stop for a minute and go, like, I have to think it over. Did I leave that in the closet in my brain somewhere and I've forgotten that I knew that? Like, no, that's because that's not so. It's an interesting time, especially, I think, for kids growing up now. Like, the idea that you have to, put everything that's said through fact-checking. And it didn't used to be that way. Every now and then Beaver Cleaver lied. But, you know, within 22 minutes, they'd come to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Everybody's got to walk around with, the fact checker is a full-time job for everybody now.
Yeah. It is pretty extraordinary. We were happy with many results here in California. And I imagine that Florida will have their numbers in sometime next year.
Well, yeah, they may decide, you know, whether Al Gore won or not by then.
Oh, gosh, wouldn't you like that? You know, they do have to come up with a good counting system. Clearly, whatever they're doing there, it's like every time, you know, like the Chads didn't work, and then this time, I don't know. What was the state where the ballot, no, that might have been Georgia, where the ballot, a lot of people just didn't vote for a senator because of the way the ballot was designed?
Yeah, I think that was in Georgia. I remember hearing that. I don't remember the exact state.
Wendell, my assistant, just said Texas. I'm not certain. But anyway, it's one of those that was sort of one of those that was authentication challenged to begin with. Like they designed a ballot to sort of obscure the Senate race. So as a voter, by the way, I can't imagine going into the booth and accidentally not voting for a senator. Do you in Maine, do you have to vote for judges?
No. No, Maine judges are appointed. We vote for district attorneys, but not for judges.
We have to vote for them, and no one knows. Unless you're a criminal, no one knows judges. So, you know, people, those who take voting very seriously are, you know, just days before the election scouring, just looking anywhere for some sort of judge hint.
Oh, yeah.
It's a strange system.
Yeah, Maine has offices like that. We have county treasurers that we're voting for and things like that, that just nobody really knows who these people are. Until they see a name and have to try to decide which one to put in.
Right. Yeah, we have the Board of Equalization. I don't even know what that is. I think it's like a couple of people who like hold up something that's a pound, and then they hold up something that's 16 ounces, and they go, yeah, seems about the same.
I feel like I have to ask this before. I know we've only chatted for a little bit of time. Before we wrap up, I feel like I have to ask you if there's any life advice that you need to impart to me today.
Oh, life advice. Let me think here. Yes, I have a lot, as you well know. I can tell you what I did when I was younger. Because I have a lot of cats. I had an Ernie doll, you know, as in Bert and Ernie, mm-hmm. Ernie puppet. And I kept him in the refrigerator because my cats used to eat his hair. And it's just something I want to pass along that people might be able to use. I took him out every now and then to enjoy his company. But for the most part, you know, being an adult, I didn't really play with the Ernie doll just that much. I just liked the presence of him. And he was as decorative in the refrigerator as he was going to be anywhere else where the cats could have eaten his hair.
Protect the dolls from the cats. Yeah. They can't get into the refrigerator.
You know, okay. No one thinks to decorate the inside of the refrigerator. But, you know, opening that door and having a dopamine hit, that's what I got every time. And it wasn't just from the pecan pie that lay there waiting for me.
Well, that is helpful because I have a cat and I would not put it past him to start eating things around my house. Knickknacks of any variety.
I grew up with a cat that ate everything. This is where you learn things. My parents used to keep their will in the butter dish in the refrigerator. And they said that it was because if the house burned, that the refrigerator wouldn't. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they believed. And that's all fine, but, you know, every time we made toast, we thought, oh, Mom and Dad might die. So I don't know. That's why I say use your Ernie doll, not necessarily a will.
I have known people that have hidden cash in the freezer. I don't know the reason. I never asked the reason. I assumed it was because the robber wouldn't think to look there.
Took some of the cold cash out of there. You know what? I don't have enough to hide in the freezer, but now that you've said it, if I ever save any, that's where I'm putting it.
Well, once again, you can see Paula performing in Ogunquit on Saturday, November 24th at Jonathan's, or on the 25th at the Narrows Center for the Arts in Fall Rivers, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, Paula, for taking the time to chat with us today.
It was nice talking with you. Thank you. Take care.